You know, some musicians, man, I've been around some musicians that are just, how can I word it? Not too humble, right? And one thing I can say about all these musicians up here is they have a humility about them. And Greg came to me one day and he told me, he said, "Hey, Pastor," he says, "if anybody ever comes into this church and plays better than me, or you know, you feel like you need to put them up here, put them up here." It's like, wow, really? Who says that? What musician says that? I said, wow, that is awesome, brother. I mean, what a heart. Let's give the Lord a good hand this morning. Amen. Praise the Lord. Oh, there I am. I am, man, you got the power. Why don't you stand this morning? God is so good, so faithful to us. Hallelujah. And I want to turn over to the gospel according to Luke. Luke chapter 10, verse 38 through 42. Luke 10, 38 through 42. And I'm just going to share the word with you this morning. I love this scripture. I love this. Hey, Easter's coming up. It's a great time to invite somebody. April 4th is Easter Sunday. It's going to be a great, great day. Invite all the Christers. Those that only come on Easter and Christmas. So invite them. Amen. So listen what the word of God said. Now it happened as they went that he entered a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. Welcome him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary who also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. Wow, isn't that awesome? But Martha was distracted with much serving. Martha was distracted with much serving, and she approached him and said, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Therefore, tell her to help me." Jesus answered and said to her, "Martha, Martha, you are worried and troubled about many things. But one thing is needed, and Mary has chosen that good part which will not be taken away from her." Hold up your Bible this morning and say it like you mean it. Come on, say it, "Pastor, this is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have, and I can do what it says I can do. Today, I boldly confess my mind is clear, my heart is open to receive God's word, and I will never be the same, never, never the same in Jesus' name. Amen." Turn to three people this morning and tell them, don't be a Martha today. Amen? Come on. Praise the Lord. Amen. Don't be a Martha today. Praise God. Wow. What a beautiful story, really, here that is given to us, that Luke the physician gives to us about Jesus and these two ladies, and what contrast we have. We have Martha just distracted with trying to get a meal for Jesus, no doubt his disciples, and she's just going about all this stuff. And we have Mary sitting and receiving from Jesus, sitting at his feet and receiving the word of God. And, you know, Martha just comes to him, and I can just see her right now. "Well, Jesus, you know, what's going on here, right? And, you know, what's happening? What, you know, wow." And she's all distracted. You know, so many times in this life, we can get distracted from really feeding on Jesus, to really receiving from him. And Jesus told Martha, let's back up, and she said, called her Mary. Let's go back down for a little bit. Martha sat at his feet and heard the word, back up. And Martha was distracted with much serving. We can get so distracted even doing good things that we miss the good part. Amen? And what really, to me, what this is really looking at and focusing on is that Martha was distracted and Jesus was there in her house, but she was distracted with all the labor that was going on, or she felt that needed to be going on to prepare this meal, while Mary was choosing this good part of sitting at Jesus' feet. Martha really represents the law. The law will cause you to be distracted and to work and work and work, and you'll be exhausted trying to prepare, to improve, to get better by the law. Mary represents grace. sitting at Jesus' feet and feeding off of him and just resting and receiving. Now, I don't know about you, but, you know, several times a year, you know, Holly and I anymore, we kind of go out some, but you know, we'll prepare small meals, or she'll prepare small meals. But there's about three or four times a year that I really look forward to, that being Easter. One of those, we usually have an Easter dinner, and it consists of ham, and it consists of sweet potato casserole. And Holly has such anointing on sweet potato casserole. It's like, oh my gosh, it is awesome. And she'll have some other things, but she is working, and then we come in and we just receive all those good things that she's prepared. We lay our hands on them and we ordain them into the ministry, right? Is anybody, you know, and then, you know, Thanksgiving, anybody appreciate that type of dinner, that type of meal, that type of preparation? Or Christmas, you know, when all the family's there and you're all getting together, and the only thing you're doing, you're really not, you know, the ladies are working, and us guys, what are we doing? We're just laid back, getting ready to eat, right? The ladies are doing all the work, and us guys are just receiving. Amen. So, and I was thinking about that, and I was thinking how beautiful this is, because when you look up the Hebrew word Martha, it means bitter. You know, you can get bitter trying to serve or trying to do things out of your flesh or appease God by serving the law. You can become very bitter, and I believe she was very bitter. Lord, do you not care that my sister left me to serve alone? Wow. Lord, don't you even care? And everything begins to point at you. But when you're sitting at the feet of Jesus receiving, I mean, there's such freedom and joy there receiving and just feeding off of Jesus. And Jesus said, hey, she's chosen the good. She's chosen the best. Amen. Hallelujah. But one thing is needed, and Mary has chosen what? The good part. And that will not be taken away from her. Church, I'm telling you, there's a lot of distractions in the world right now. We could be distracted doing this and distracted doing that, and all the things that's going on out there in the world, all the bad news, everything that's happening. But I want to tell you, I don't know about you, but I want to sit at the feet of Jesus, and I want to receive the good part from Jesus, amen, because the good part is what's going to last in this life. Amen. So we can rejoice, because when we find the place of grace, we find the place of rest, and we find the place of blessing. Amen? We rejoice because the work is already finished and the table has been prepared. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Amen? We receive all of the harvest that God has provided for us. And God desires us to just feed on his word, feed on his grace, receive healing, receive abundance, receive restoration, amen. He wants to prosper us in all areas of life when we're resting and reclining with him, feeding on Jesus, feeding on his grace, amen. I want you to go over to Psalm 23. This is probably my favorite psalm. I was telling Karis yesterday, this is probably one of my favorite psalms, Psalm 23. Listen what the psalmist said, and I know some of you can quote this. This is the psalm, if I wake up in the middle of the night, I quote this entire psalm. I love this word. I love this psalm because it's really about Jesus, and it's pointing to a prophetic Jesus in the word. And he said this, he said, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, and my cup is running over. It's really interesting because in the Hebrew, in the presence of is against. In other words, God is preparing while we are resting. He is working against our enemies. While we're feeding at his table, he is working against our enemies. Whatever enemy you might be facing, when you're resting in Christ and allowing his grace to take place in your life, he is working against every enemy that might be coming against you. And that's exactly what the psalmist is saying here. As we rest, because you see, when you entered a Hebrew's house and you didn't sit for a meal, you actually reclined for a meal. You rested as you were partaking at this table. And as we partake and rest in grace, God is defeating every enemy that would come against us. Hallelujah. Amen. I love this Jesus. It's so good. Recline and we feed on him. Amen. And he's defeating our enemies. Whatever enemy you might face today, whether it's a health situation, whether it's a financial situation, as you feed on Jesus, as you discover more of his grace, you're going to find out that those enemies are going to be defeated in every area of your life. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. Look at Psalm 110, verse 1. Psalm 110, verse 1. Amen. Psalm 110, verse 1. Let me show you this. Amen. God, you are so good. Hallelujah. The Lord said, sit at my right hand till I make your enemies your footstool. That is where we are positioned. We are in Christ, seated with him in heavenly places. And as we rest, the more we rest in his grace and cease from our labor, we put our feet up on our enemies. Amen? We are the head and not the tail. We are above only and not beneath. Amen? That is our position in Christ as we're feeding on his love for us and as we're feeding on his grace for us. Oh, by the way, Mary, and a translation of Mary is beloved. So you have Martha the bitter and Mary the beloved. I don't know about you, but I want to be the beloved. I don't want to be bitter. Serving out of the law will make you bitter. There's nothing worse than a religious Christian. Oh, come on, somebody. Amen. I mean, they are mean. They are bitter. They can be downright nasty. Amen. There's something about religion that makes people mad. Why is it? Because they're having to work so hard to try to get something that they never can get. And God says, you don't have to work hard any longer. I've already provided for you. Only thing you've got to do is kick back and receive. You know, grace is all about receiving, amen? The law is all about working, but grace is all about receiving. Amen. Man, hallelujah. Turn over to Isaiah, if you will, chapter 25. Let me show you a powerful scripture today and give you some revelation out of this on rest and feeding on the Lord. Our Lord, you are my God. 25, let's drop down, then he is. Aren't you glad? Let's drop down to verse 6. Lord, you are my God. You've done wonderful things. But look at this. And in this mountain, everybody say it with me, and in this mountain, the Lord of hosts will make for all people a feast of choice pieces, a feast of wines on the lees, of fat things full of marrow, of well-refined wines on the lees. Next verse, amen. And he will destroy on the mountain the surface of the covering, cast over all people, and the veil that is spread over all nations. Next verse. He will swallow up death forever, and the Lord God will wipe away tears from all faces. The rebuke of his people he will take away from all the earth, for the Lord has spoken. In this scripture, there's so many things I want to bring out to you this morning. First of all, I want you to notice, if we'll back up to verse 26, I want you to notice some things here. And let's actually... Look at the first thing I want you to notice here. He says, of fat things full of marrow. This is the Lord's table. This is what God has for us. This is what God has prepared for us in grace. This is a picture of God's grace and God's table for us. He said, a feast of wines of the lees. We're going to talk about that in just a moment. But of fat things full of marrow. Wherever you see fat, this actual word in Hebrew, it represents oil. It represents the anointing oil of the Holy Spirit. Do you realize that when we feed on God's word and we feed on the grace of God, that God gives us a fresh deposit of anointing oil within us? And that anointing oil that is there to produce results in our lives. So it's an effortless result working situation when we're feeding on God's word, when we're receiving the fat of God's word into our life, and that anointing is the power that breaks and destroys the yoke of bondage. We receive that when we feed on him. Not only that, marrow in our bones is there for our immunity. It battles and fights off diseases. It's a very effective way that God has put within our system to battle diseases. And as we feed at the Lord's table, and as we feed on grace, diseases are removed from our body. The anointing breaks every yoke, and diseases begin to be removed from our body so that you and I may walk in divine health as we feed on his word. Oh, come on, somebody. Amen. There's such an anointing there as we feed on the Lord and as we worship him and as we feed on the word of God and as we feed at the table of grace that diseases cannot come against our body, that plagues cannot come against our body. You just need to turn somebody and say, no germs coming near me that's going to harm me. Come on. Why? Because I'm feeding on God's grace. Amen. I'm feeding at the table. It's building my immune system. Amen. I'm getting stronger every day. Every day I live, I get stronger in the Lord. I get stronger in his grace. I get stronger in his love for me. Amen. And those diseases have to be far removed from this body in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. So as we're feeding on the Lord, full of marrow, full of that immunity, full of that wonderful oil of the Holy Spirit, the oil of gladness within our lives. Amen? God's total life prosperity in every area is found at this table. Amen? It is there. And the wine, this is a refined wine. It is a refined wine. In other words, it's the best wine there is. And wine always represents joy in the Bible. It represents the presence of the Lord. So as we feed on the table of grace, we have the joy of the Lord flowing out of us. The joy of the Lord is my strength. Amen. And as I'm feeding on all the provision that God has given me through grace and through the finished work, I have the joy of the Lord. I have the anointing of the Holy Spirit. I have the strength and the immunity in my system to fight off any type of disease that would come against me. Hallelujah. As I feed on him in Jesus' name. Come on, somebody, give him some praise this morning. You believe that? Wow. Hallelujah. That's why David said over there in Psalm 23 in that verse, in verse 5, he says he's anointed my head with oil. This is what's going along with this. Because we're feeding on the table, we're anointed by Jesus Christ himself. Not only do we have the anointing, but he says my cup runneth over. He says, in other words, I never want you to go out of my presence. And we're never out of his presence. We're in God's grace. He's always there with us. He said, I will never, ever leave you or forsake you. Hallelujah, man. That is some good news this morning. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Full of marrow, full of your goodness, full of your grace. No disease, no sickness, no plague will come near our dwelling. Amen? Jude 120 says, as we pray in the Holy Spirit, he builds up our most holy faith. When we're worshiping him at this table and we're praying in the Spirit, we're filled with that anointing. We're filled with that overflow. Amen? We're not working out of ourselves. We're not serving out of ourselves, but we're serving out of the overflow of God's grace and God's joy in our life. Amen. Hallelujah. Shall I go on a little further? Let's go back to Isaiah this morning. I want to break this down a little bit further for you because this is so good. Amen. Let's go on down to the next verse, 27. We're going to come back here. And he will destroy on this mountain the surface of the covering cast over all people. This, I really believe, is a prophetic voice for this time. And the veil that is spread over all nations. COVID has spread over all nations. And what's interesting about this is the word veil there. There's a couple meanings, but I want to share with you. The word veil, you know what the word veil actually means in this Hebrew translation? It means mask. And the veil that is spread over all nations. The surface of covering cast over all people. This has been cast over people. There's been a veil put upon our faces, right? And he will destroy on this mountain. Listen to me. I believe COVID is something that's going to turn around for the good of the church. I believe COVID is being defeated, and because of what's gone on, that people are going to be turning in a mass exodus out of religion, out of dead things, and into the living Jesus Christ because of the glory of God upon the church. You believe that with me this morning? Amen? I really believe that. I believe this thing is coming to an end, but out of this thing, God is bringing good to the church because people are going to be looking and searching for the true answer. I believe people are going to be dead and tired of religion that doesn't get any results, and they want something in their life that's going to work. Let me tell you, grace always works. Grace always works. Why? Because Jesus is grace. Amen. It literally means mask. We are going to see, I believe, the greatest outpouring of grace that we've ever seen. Because what's happening is people are awakening to grace. No, I got to say that again. Because sometimes we just get a little dull in this area. People are awakening to grace. There is a great grace awakening. There's a lot of deception going on. There's even deception in grace teaching. But I want to tell you, for the deception going on, God is greater than all of that. And there is pure grace that's being taught and being preached. And people are honoring what Jesus has done in the finished work. And because we're honoring Jesus in the finished work, we're going to see a mass influx into the body of Christ. And the mask is going to drop. Come on, somebody. Amen. I said the mask is going to drop. Praise God. We're going to be able to fellowship and get close together again. It's going to be even better than before because we're going to appreciate it more. He will destroy on this mountain the surface of the covering cast over all people and the veil that is spread. Not only that veil, but the veil of the law, that veil is going to be destroyed. And the veil of the temple was rent in twain, and we walk into God's full grace. Oh, amen. Somebody shout amen. Amen. Hallelujah. 2 Corinthians 3:13-14. 2 Corinthians 3:13-14. Look at this. Hallelujah. Unlike Moses, who put a veil, a mask, over his face so that the children of Israel could not look steadily at the end of what was passing away. The law was passing away. But look at this. But their minds were blinded, for until the day, the same veil remains unlifted in the reading of the Old Testament. The same veil is there. The same, you know, people today are getting so mixed up because they're kind of got that squirrel theology. They don't know which way to go. Right? They get over in the law a little bit. They hear a preacher. He sounds really good. Man, he's just preaching. He sounds really good. And it's the law coming out of his mouth because the law attracts to the flesh. Grace attracts to the spirit. The law always says do, and you feel good about yourself. And grace says done, and you have to give God the glory instead of yourself. Oh, man. Come on, somebody. Amen. And people, you know, that's why Paul says, you know, I will know no man after the flesh from hereafter. but after the Spirit. For there, until that day, the same veil remains unlifted in the reading of the Old Testament, because the veil is taken away. Where is it taken away? In Christ. Amen. It's really interesting because the Lord, when he opened Isaiah in this chapter, he said, the Lord of hosts. And literally that means the Lord of armies. The Lord of armies. God is fighting battles for you this morning. It is a prophetic word that is set forth, I believe, for this time, out of that prophetic word out of Isaiah. It's taking place during this time. Amen. And the prophetic word is about Mount Zion, because he said, in this mountain. And look over in Isaiah 24 before he started this prophetic word. Isaiah 24, verse 23. Let me show you this. It's very important you see this. Amen. Then the moon will be disgraced and the sun ashamed. For the Lord of hosts, the Lord of the armies, the Lord that is fighting our battles. Turn to somebody and say, it's not your battle, baby. Come on. It's not your battle. You're not wrestling flesh and blood here. It's the Lord's battle. It's the Lord of armies. He will reign where? On Mount Zion and in Jerusalem before his elders gloriously. This is a prophetic word for the church, and he spelled it on out, and he gave it to us in Isaiah 25. Mount Zion is the place of grace. Mount Zion is the place of power. Mount Zion is the place of the birth of the church, the body of Christ. That is where we are inhabited at now. We moved from Mount Sinai, the law, to Mount Zion. We moved from the law of death into the law of grace and life. Hallelujah. We're not established any longer on Mount Zion or Mount Sinai, but we're established now on Mount Zion. I love it. Hallelujah. Hebrews 12, 21 and 22. Hebrews 12, 21 and 22. Look at this. Hebrews 12, 21 and 22. And so terrifying was the sight of Moses, said, I'm exceedingly afraid and trembling. Man, the law and the giving of the law, 3,000 people died at Mount Sinai. 3,000. And it was such a terrible and frightening thing. Look at the next verse. But you have come to. Where have you come to? You've come to Mount Zion and to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, to an innumerable company of angels. Turn to somebody and say, aren't you glad we're not living in fear any longer, but we're living in faith, amen, and we're living in grace, and we're living on the top of Mount Zion with an innumerable company of angels at our dispatch. Whoa, amen and amen. Glory to God, man. Wow, there is a great contrast between Mount Zion, the place of grace, and Mount Sinai. Not only did 3,000 die on Mount Zion and the law was given, but on Mount Zion, 3,000 were filled with the Holy Spirit. Mount Sinai, 3,000 died. We are no longer at the mountain that causes exceeding fear. We're on the mountain that it causes exceeding faith to develop in our life. That's where we're planted. That's where we're positioned. Amen. We're no longer living under fear of condemnation, but we're living under the faith of God's goodness and grace happening in our lives. Look at Hebrews 4 and verse 16. Hebrews 4 and verse 16. I love this. I love Hebrews. It's got some great, great things bringing out God's goodness and who Jesus is. Let us therefore come boldly to what? To the throne of grace. That's where we are. That we may feed on mercy and find grace to help us in the time of need. Every need you have today has been met in God's grace. Every need you have has been met in God's grace. We have moved from the mountain of demand to the mountain of supply. Wow, amen? We have moved from the mountain of demand to the mountain of supply. That's where we are. That's what this prophetic word given to the church was for. Let me give you another scripture this morning. Look at Luke chapter 14 and verse 16. Luke chapter 14 and verse 16. There's some humor in this. I find some really humor in this story, but I want to give it to you. Then he said to him, a certain man gave a great supper. You know, we have the Lord's table. We serve communion, and we have the Lord's table. And supper is the final meal of the day. I believe Jesus instituted that to let us know that he is coming very soon. It's the Last Supper, right? And here the Bible says, a certain man gave a great supper and invited many. Wow, isn't that interesting? He invited many, right? And sent out his servant being the Holy Spirit. He sent him out at supper time, the final meal, to say to those who were invited, who was really everyone, come, for all things are now. God's already prepared it. It's already there before us. Amen. He says, come on. Everything at this table is already for you. The oil of gladness. Amen. Health is there for you. Prosperity is there for you. Everything that pertains to life and godliness is there for you. But they all, with one accord, begin to make excuses. The first said to him, I have bought a piece of ground, and I must go and see it. I ask you to have me excused. Turn to somebody and say, that is a dumb guy. Who would ever buy some property and never go and see it first? Think about it, right? Wow. Who would buy a piece of land and then say, well, hey, I need to go and see it, you know, because I've already bought it. I don't know about that. Look at the next guy here. And another said, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I'm going to test them. Well, why wouldn't you drive a car first before you buy it? I want to tell you, always drive a car before you buy it. I'm just giving you some good car advice there. Always, in fact, if you're buying a used car, take it to a mechanic. Take it to a mechanic, right? I have bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I'm going to test them now. I ask that you'd have me excused. Now, I love this last one, okay? Here's this last one. Still another said, I've married a wife, and therefore I cannot come. Come on, guys. Amen. Oh, she won't let me go golfing today. I'm sorry. Come on, guys. I've married a wife, and therefore I can't. I can't make it. My wife won't let me go. There's the man blaming on the woman again, right? Same thing all the way back to Genesis. This woman you gave me, Lord. Oh, come on, somebody. Look at this. So that servant came and reported these things to his master. And his master of his house, being angry, said to his servant, go out quickly into the streets and lanes of the city and bring in here the poor, the maimed, the lame, and the blind. Man, isn't that beautiful? Is that not a picture of all of us? Is that not a picture of all of us in grace who God found, who we were poor, we were defeated, we were crippled, we were lame, we were blind to the truth, and God, the Holy Spirit, sent the Holy Spirit to our hearts and says, come on, man, I've got something much better for you. Come and dine at my table. And look at this. I love this. Amen. Look. And the servant said, Master, it is done as you commanded. And still there is room. This is a big spread. I remember years ago, I think it was Beverly Shea. Some of you never know who Beverly Shea is, but he used to sing a song, there's room at the cross for you. There's room at the cross for you. Though millions have come, there's still room for one. Yes, there's room at the cross for you. You know, grace is so big. Come on, somebody. Grace. God, there's going to be people in heaven that you never thought. How'd you get here? What? Lord, what? And that guy over here is going to say, grace. How'd you get here, man? I knew you, man. What you do? Grace. Wow. Don't underestimate the power of God's grace to save. Man, there's room at the cross. There's room in this church for a lot more. Amen. We need to, Lord, help us to let the veil be dropped and let people see the beauty of Jesus in our lives. Amen. When people look at me, may they see Jesus. May they see Jesus. Have you ever been around someone and you just knew? You just knew. You didn't know them, but you just knew they were a believer? You know, has anybody ever had that witness? Come on. Amen. Holly and I have that a lot. We'll go around somebody because we enjoy talking to people because we just want to share Jesus with people. And we'll go to somebody, start talking to them and say, you know what? You're a believer, aren't you? They'll smile real big and say, yes, I am, after you expose them, right? Yes, I am, right? Amen. I'm telling you, man, there's room at this table. Whatever you're carrying today, you can let it down. You can just come and feed. You can come and feed at this table and never be ashamed. Your Father has a table for you this morning. Amen. Would you stand today? Praise the Lord. Let's give God some hand clap of praise. Hallelujah. 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 It's a great table. Amen. It's a great table. He said there's still room today. So whatever need you might be having today, whatever you're going through, I'm telling you right now, it all can be met in Jesus Christ. Would you lift up your hands this morning and let's make some confession. And as you confess today, I want you to receive. I want you to just feed on Jesus right now. Say, Jesus, thank you, Lord, for your table. It is full this morning of everything I need. Thank you, Lord. You're a good daddy. You're a good provider. Your grace has supplied all my needs. Today, I receive. Thank you, Lord. I receive healing. I receive abundance. I receive the anointing. I receive the Holy Spirit. Lord, I receive everything that you have for me today. By your stripes, I am healed. Health is mine. Health is mine. Resistance to disease is mine. I walk in health today. I walk in divine health. Any germ that comes against this body dies in the name of Jesus. Any virus that comes against me dies in the name of Jesus. Any cell thing that's out of order has to get right today. In the name of Jesus, eyes have to clear up. Ears have to unstop. Thank you, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Arthritis has to go. I feed at your table today, God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Spasms have to go in the name of Jesus today. Amen. Headaches have to go in the name of Jesus today. Thank you, Lord. We thank you, God. We receive from you today. God, I receive the best. I receive the best today. Oh, God, you are so good. Your table is full this morning. Thank you, Lord. Come on, church, say thank you, Lord. I receive this morning everything that you have for me. Listen, we want to take everything off the table today. We want to make sure there's nothing left. You know, it's like when you were a kid and your mom said, now you make sure you eat all that because there's people overseas that are dying, so you make sure you eat all that, right? Listen, we want to receive from him today. One more time, would you just lift your hands right here? Allow the Holy Spirit, amen, just to minister to your heart right now. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Every need being met, no one leaving this place today. God, being discouraged, no one leaving this place sick, God, but everyone healed, whole, walking in the power of the Holy Spirit, walking in grace today, walking in your love today. God, we thank you this morning for the goodness of God. Hallelujah. Thank you for your healing power right now. We release it in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. We receive life today in the name of Jesus. Life today in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, God, right now in your name. Amen. Amen. Come on, give God a good hand clap of praise today. If you'd like additional prayer this morning, go to room 3. But before you go, turn to 5 people and say, I received today. How about you?